But it's just a wonderful promise that in Thessalonians, I think the second chapter of Thessalonians, we had that just a few days ago in the second chapter of the book of Thessalonians. And I want to go to verse 13, and very beautiful promises of the Lord, because many times you hear the scriptures and the preacher and he's negative, always talking negative, but as if God is a monster or he wants to hurt you, but that's not true. That's not true. God would not have died for us if he wanted to destroy us. He died, he sent his son to destroy the devil. It's the devil that would like to destroy us. God does not want to destroy us. You don't have to be afraid of God. You love him. It says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You need a friend today?
Yes.
Well, you need Jesus. He's closer. What Sister Linda was saying, she was giving thanks to God and exalting and lifting him up because of the goodness that he has done for her. He brought her a long ways and he saved her and saved her family. And Sister Joni and others mentioned that's what they want, we want, I want. Amen. I'd like to see all of my relatives, my family, get saved. Wouldn't you?
Amen.
And that's a good request, but God knows what he's doing. The scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. God knows what he's doing. And look at this scripture here in, where was it? Thessalonians, the second chapter, isn't it? And verse 13. Let's all read this together, very timely. Can we just read it and look at it? Many times we read the Bible and we just go so fast that we don't understand what he's saying. Now, if you love someone and they write you a letter, they're in a far country and write you a letter, wouldn't you just take your time and go over it and get every word and really get what they're saying? Well, you have a friend in Jesus, and this is the word of God. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Here's Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. And when he heard of the good reports, the work that God was doing in their lives, not only that, but when he had a revelation of the will and the plan of God for their lives and the promises of God, and to see them walking in it, and begin to come into these promises that God had promised to them, he began to give thanks to God for them. Amen. He was giving not only thanks to God, but he was thanking God for the people and for the walk that they were walking in the will of God. Amen. So Paul said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Notice who he's talking. The saints, brethren. And he said, beloved, the brethren, the beloved. You are, this is what you are. This is what you are in God. You are brethren. Now, if you're brethren, that means God is the Father. And God has a household. See, God has children. Do you know God has children? I'm looking at them right now. See, are you looking at any of God's children? Do you know God's children? Do you saw this morning a child of God up here giving her testimony and pouring out her heart? So while she was doing, I could give thanks to God for her. See, while her son was preaching, speaking, I could give thanks to God for him while he was singing. And while I looked back there and you were lifting your hands up and praising God, and I could give thanks to God for you all. Why not? Because God has chosen you. Notice here. Can you see that? What did he say? God has chosen you. This is special, isn't it? This is special. That God has chosen you. Aren't you, don't you feel good to know that God has chosen you? You're chosen of the Lord. You're not only, but you are a beloved. Somebody loves you. Everybody loves to be loved. And now you're not just loved by any ordinary person alone, but is the creator of the universe. It's the all we were singing. Sister Linda was singing the song, How Great Thou Art. Well, it's the same one that I'm speaking about right now, that Paul says that you are the beloved of God. See, God loves you. You get excited when you know that somebody loves you. You know that God loves you and that you are a beloved. Now, you can walk around and hang your head and say, I'm no good, I'm lost, and I'm a sinner, and I'm condemned. But that's not the way God feels about you. That is not the way God sees you. When God sees you as a child of God. God sees you as a beloved. God sees you, not only that, but one that is chosen. He picks you out. He loves you. Amen. See, this is exciting when you begin to understand your relationship with God. Who am I? Because a lot of people, we don't know why we are here. Why do I go to church? Do I just go to church because I want to escape the fire and the flames of hell? Or I'm going there because I want God to give me a car or give me something? Why do I go to church? But if you go to church because that is your Father's house, if you go to church because you know that you're chosen, if you go to church because you know that you're beloved, you're somebody special. This is what God is saying to you right here. He said, you are somebody special. God, Paul is trying to let us know who we are. Because some of us, we are American, we are Jamaican, we are from here. But this is more than that. This is more than that. This is talking about the God, the creator of the universe. And when he sees you, he sees you as special. Amen. He sees you as someone that he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. See, but we are, and then Paul said, because you're so special, because God had chosen you, and to see that you're walking into the will of God and the plan of God and to what God has called you for. God says the Lord was speaking through Paul also. He said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And here's powerful now. He's saying a wonderful things right there, but look at how he just breathed on. Because, read it loud, because God. Who? God. Now, when I say God, just don't say God and you move on. You begin to think of God. Who is he? When you look around, and as the song says, you feel the gentle breeze. Amen. You see the stars, the sun, the moon. You see everything that God has created. And you begin to focus on this endless universe and the plan of God. And not only that, but he who is from eternity, who is from everlasting. You're talking about someone that is the creator of all things. He has life in himself. He gives life. He gives all things. God is the one that loves me. God is the one that cares for me. The deliverer, the healer, the one who can set me free, the one that will save my family, that will save your family. God. Amen. God. That's a wonderful thing to begin to think that he's not a piece of wood or stone, but he's a living God. He's a true God. He's the only God. Amen. He has life within himself. And the one that hears you when you call. The one that knows everything about you. He knows the steps that you take. And he says that God, the one that is called God from the beginning, What did he do? God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, what does that mean? If God chose you to salvation, that means you're going to be saved. That means you're saved. Do you understand that? God chose you. Well, I don't think God did. Yes, he did. That's why you're here. Well, what about your family? You don't know. See, because you're looking at the present. But God is eternal. And God makes a promise. He says, the promise is unto you. When God made a promise in Acts and in Joel, he says, the promise is unto you, unto your children, and to all that are afar off, your household. Joshua said, me and my household. You can stand on the word of God today, and you can stand that if your children are not yet saved, you believe that God is able. You believe that God is able to do exceeding. Oh, somebody help me. To do exceeding abundantly above all that you, I'm talking about you now. The Bible's talking about you. Now you think of something. Well, I'd like my family saved. He's able to do abundant above that. Well, I'd like to see all my children in church. He can do that and more. Okay, exceeding abundantly above all. It goes beyond your thoughts that you can ask, and not only that, but think. You're thinking about, well, I'd like to see my children, my grandchildren, but God goes beyond that. God made a promise to Abraham that even he said to Abraham, after you're dead and gone, I will still be saving your children. I will still be saving your offspring. You've got to understand now that you don't, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your help to save your children. Well, I've got to pray for them. Yes, that's good. Go ahead and pray for them. But even if you don't pray for them, God can work without you. Oh, that's good to pray for them. That's good to cry. But what I'm saying, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You can spend all night travailing. Go ahead and do that. That's good. That could help. But God doesn't need that to do his work. Because you've got to understand that the scripture says, known unto God all his works from before the foundation of the world. I'm trying to show you a God that can work and does work even without human help. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God has been working. Who brought you and I to an altar? Who brought you and I to Jesus? When God reached down there and picked you up. Who did that? Who could speak to the eunuch out there in the desert? And then he spoke to Philip, said, go join yourself with that chariot. Amen. Well, how could God work? Look at how he works. In the midnight hour, Paul and Silas was in jail. I mean, they were in prison. And something came in their heart just to sin. Are you listening now? In the midnight hour, a song came in their heart. You mean that God could shake the prison down with a song? Amen. You mean that God could break the chains with a song? Amen. You mean that God could open up the jail of Philippi with a song? Yes. You mean that God could use an earthquake and shook the prison doors open? Yes. And when Paul and Silas was there, and then the jailer thought they were gone, and he would have killed himself, and Paul cried out, said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And that jailer came and fell on his knees in the midnight hour and took Paul and Silas to his home and washed their wounds. And that night, that same night, God used a song God use an earthquake. God can work through the storms and the fire. Hallelujah. God can work through the wind and every situation and every circumstances. And that which was meant for evil, God can turn it for good. And that very night, the jailer and all of his household got saved. Who did that? Come on, you've got to believe God. He's a God of miracle. God can work without your help or my help. Peter was sleeping in the jail at the midnight. And the next day he was to die. He was not worrying and pulling his hair and crying. The man wasn't even praying. Because he had faith in his God. If you can believe God today, God's going to do it for you. If you can believe God, that God can save you. Hallelujah. That God can heal you. God can deliver you. You've got to understand that God is bigger than your thoughts. He's bigger than my thoughts. And he doesn't work the way we worked. Because you would never know. Here's a man sleeping in jail. And the church was praying for him. And he was sleeping. The church was all nervous. But he wasn't nervous. Peter went to bed. He had faith in God. That apostle had came a long ways. That he could trust God. Any man that could fall asleep between soldiers. And knowing that the next day you'll be dead has got to have faith. Anyone. Because 99% of us, we'd be crying and screaming and on the cell phone and we'd be up. We'd be so confused. But he went to bed. I mean, he went to bed and he had such faith that he put off some of his clothes. That's how relaxed he was. And when the angel had to wake him up, touch him and poke him and, you know, get him out of that snoring condition. And that's the way Peter was. He had fully trusted God. He had come a long ways. I mean, the man saw God pour out the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost. He saw the lame man healed. When he went up, was it Peter and John went up? And they were going into church and the layman out there said, silver and gold I have not. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have anything, but I've got something. Why, you might not have a lot of money to give your relatives, but you've got something. And the same God that's in your life is going to overpour in their lives. You've got to understand, like David, my cup is full. And what happened? What happened to the thing or the parts that's running over? It's going to touch somebody. And if your cup is full and you've got that joy inside of you, and you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, my cup is full, but I got some running over. And you're looking for a church that's filled up with God. If you got a church and a person that's filled up with God and begin to overflow, it's going to reach your family. Because they're going to see something different. They're going to see that you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And back to Peter. And the man was so relaxed that you've got to understand now. He was sleeping in jail to die the next day. But he wasn't up writing his last words and write a letter to everybody and tell them how he died and what happened. No, he was sleeping. That's not the way to be when you're going to die the next day. But if you've got faith in God, if you have faith in God, you can go on. You say, but I want to see them saved now. Listen, even if you die, your offspring, God is able to continue. And somebody say this morning, Linda, that debt doesn't end at all. Amen. You will see your offspring. Yes. Just like how Abraham, God promised him, look at the stars. Count the sand of the sea. You can't. He could not. He said, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham said, Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. When God made a promise to you, he's able to keep it and to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. How many believe God today? How many believe God today? That, listen. When we ask God for something, sometimes we go around and we don't believe it. And we're looking for him to do it 2 weeks from now. And when it's not done, we complain. And we say, God, where are you? What's going on? You've got to understand that God's timing is different from ours. God doesn't work on our clock, on our schedule. He does not. And my God knows what he's doing. And say, well, I want to see them saved tomorrow. And you have a little doubt over you. But that's not the way to do. If you commit them in the hand of God, leave them there. Oh, Lord. You shall speak a word, and it will come to pass. You can decree a thing, and it will come to pass. When you put your family in the hand of God, leave them there. All right. What's the difference? The little lad gave his lunch to Jesus. He did. He put his lunch in the hand of Jesus. And he left it there. What happened? Anything that you put in the hand of God will multiply. Do you believe that right now? But you've got to leave it. You've got to give it to Jesus. Commit thy works to the Lord and he will establish it. Your family will get to know the Lord. All right, you go around confessing doubts. Well, I don't know. He's too hard to be saved. Nobody's too hard to be saved. He's gone too far. Nobody's gone too far. Oh, he's too hard. He doesn't believe. You've got to understand that God, there's a scripture in Proverbs 19, if you can find that for me. I think it's the first verse. A beautiful scripture, Proverbs 19. Look at that right now. And then we get back to Thessalonians. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Proverbs 19?
Yes.
Or 21. Proverbs 21? I want it where the heart of the king.
The king's heart.
Yep. What chapter?
21.
That's it, 21. Look at Proverbs 21. It says the king's heart. I want to build your faith. The what?
It's in the hand of the Lord.
The king's heart is where? Is the hand of the Lord. How many believe that?
Amen.
Your king. Your grandsons, your grandchildren, your wife, your husband, even your church, your pastor, everybody, the president, their heart is in the hand of the Lord. And what happened if their heart is in the hand of the Lord? As? Have you ever seen that mighty river and it's winding and it's turning? Now, as the rivers of water. Now, who turned the river? The Lord. Can he turn the river anywhere he want to?
Yes.
Can he do that? Now, if he can turn the river, he's in charge. That mighty rushing water is supposed to be going that way, but he turns it another way. Contrary to nature.
Amen.
What he's saying today, the heart of your family is in the hand of God. Now, if he can turn the mighty rivers, whithersoever
he will,
he can turn the heart of your husband and your wives and your children to salvation. If he can turn that mighty river, now we can turn the streams, your heart, of your husband and your wife to salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He can change them to glory. He can change them to deliverance. He can turn them from evil and from wickedness to righteousness. Somebody shout. Well, I feel God today, don't you? Think of it now. The heart of the king. When they were to kill the children of the Judah in Babylon or in the king Persia, what happened? God turned it into a great day. That's what Joseph said. You meant it for evil, but God turned it for good.
Amen.
And you've got to understand by faith today that God will turn around your situation, your position. But you've got to put it in the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
Many times we don't put it in the hand of the Lord. We think we do, but we are carrying it. I've had people that I had to talk to. I said, stop. You're praying, but you're holding out. You will not give up your children to God. You're not. You'll not give up your family to the Lord. You're carrying it. Now, you've got to give them to the Lord like the loaves and the fish and let him do it and break it and pray over it. And whatever he will, say, thy will be done, Lord.
Yeah.
You see, you cannot take it back. But you'll get it back, 12 baskets full.
Amen.
Amen. You get that?
Yes.
You leave it there, and when he come back to you, it's going to multiply. You're going to get, Jacob. Look at Jacob. Give you a story. Jacob thought Joseph was dead. He did. The brothers went home and lied and sold him into Egypt, and that was it. By right, that's it. He went in jail because of Potiphar's wife lied about him. Did God protect him in jail? He came out of jail. That's a miracle. How could you come out of jail, from jail to a throne? To the second in command. Who did that? Who did that? You see, you've got to understand that God turned rivers. He turned hearts around. And you walk by faith and not by sight. And you're looking for, I'm not seeing him praying. I'm not hearing her pray. And you're sneaking the door and they're not saved yet. You know we do it. By sight. And you're looking for a sign. And when your grandson goes in the room, you even sneak and put a Bible under his pillar and sneak out. You don't have to even do that. Jacob thought Joseph was dead. And some of the things we go through, you don't have to, do it if you want to. Do it if you want to. You can put a prayer cloth under the pillar if you want to. Go do all of those things. But God doesn't even need those. You can do it. Don't say, Pastor said, don't do that. Do all of those little things. Put a leaf under from Jordan. Put a piece of rock under it. Do anything you want to do. Okay? Write a scripture verse on his pillow. Do anything you want to do. But what I'm trying to say, that might be okay if it builds your faith. But that doesn't build the faith of God because he doesn't need that. Because their heart is already in the hand of the Lord. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Your grandchildren, your husband, their heart is in the hand of God. And as the rivers of water, he turn it anywhere he want to turn it. And one night they might be going to the bar, the tavern, and suddenly something say, go to church. What? But they're in church. They don't know why they're there. Or they might turn on looking for the sport channel. And they end up on a gospel channel. And they hear a word, repent. Because you've got to understand, they can run, but they cannot hide. Because God knows them, and God knows where they are, and God has their names. And you can speak a word like Joshua. Ask for me and my house. Maybe he had some bad boys. But Joshua wouldn't speak negative. Ask for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you're getting the purpose in your heart that your children will come to know the Lord. I remember when we used to pray for Brother Kobe. He's here and he's gone. He's not there. But look at him now. Yeah. And we used to pray for Brother Ronald. Remember? I think you had that big offer one time. You did? Didn't you? Did you? Nah. That didn't know. So it's a long time we've been praying. And now look at it. What God's doing. I'm trying to tell you how God works. And here is Brother Ronald sitting back there. Not only is he praising the Lord, but guess what? He stopped into my weakness. And he know I like coffee. And he called me, Pastor, I want to take you out for coffee. So we have a coffee appointment. God knows the things that will turn you. And turn your husband. And turn your family. He knows the secret of all men. And you don't know, but God knows. Hallelujah. I said I feel like shouting. Hallelujah. God will turn your family. God will turn your children. He will turn your offspring. And let me begin to close because... When you think a thing is over, they thought Joseph was dead. I mean, Jacob thought that. He never knew Joseph was alive. The boys never tell. They don't even know if Joseph was alive. And they put him into the pit and sold him, but Joseph ended up being a governor. Now look how strange God works. Potiphar lied, wives lied, got him, but that lie got Joseph in the right place. All of the things work together for good. Amen. Every mistake, everything that goes, it's pointing to the cross, if you can believe it. Amen. But you've got to be a man or a woman of faith. Amen. Everything that happened to Joseph was getting him ready. Went in the prison house, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, that was it, you thought. He's gone now. But look what God did. Put him in the right position, the right place. Though it didn't feel good. It didn't smell good. It didn't look good. Well, you don't understand. I got a boy that drink and drink. And one of these days he's going to get tired of that drink. Amen. One of these days he's going to get tired of cursing. Because God can turn it and make him get sick to his stomach. He don't want to curse no more. I get so embarrassed and begin to say, I need to turn to Jesus. Nobody can help me but Jesus. Have you ever seen those cases? There's not a case that Christ cannot save. The lowest of the low. The dungeon. The murderer. The blasphemer. God can forgive. What a wonderful God. I'm telling you about a wonderful God. And Jacob thought his son was dead, didn't he? He had the proof. The coat was hanging there with the blood. But God knows. This man, look how God work. Look how God work. God went to the top of Egypt and gave him a dream. I mean, you never thought of that, would you? Your ways don't work. God's ways work. God gave the Pharaoh a dream. And what happened? Opened the door for Joseph. He asked help from the The prisoner, was the butler? He forgot him. People forget you. You ask people to pray for you. And sometimes, good, that's good, but they forget you. And they don't pray like they should pray. Mumble a little, blah, 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 and they're gone. They don't pray good because their heart is not there. And you're relying on their prayers. But I'm telling you a secret. When you enter into a covenant with God, when you begin to love God and pour out your heart to God and commit your family to God, no good things will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, I feel church. You say, but I invite them to church and they don't come. Put them in the hand of the Lord. Put them in the hand of the Lord and leave it there. You say, but shouldn't I pray every day? If you want to. If you want to. But you've got to understand, you've got a God that he doesn't forget. When you give it to God and you touch God, like Hannah, when she prayed for a son, and the man of God said to her, go on home. May God give you your request. It wasn't Eli. It was she touched God. She poured her heart out. What happened? She took it back, took him back and said, this is what I prayed for. Yeah. And just like God did that for Hannah, he's going to do it for you. Just like God did that for Jacob.
Amen.
When he thought his son was gone, he ended up, Joseph was alive, the governor. I don't see how you could make a slave into a governor. Why was the caravans out there at that time? And going to the right place. Everything God turned it and worked it to for good to all those that love him. Do you love God today in closing? You really love God today. Do you know God can save your family? Why? Because the heart of the king, he's got your husband, the heart of your wife, the children, grandchildren, your boss, everybody you're praying for. Their heart is in the hand of God, and God can turn it any day, anytime. He wants to do it. This is what I say. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. Eternity. So who's in charge? Whatsoever he will. That man or that woman, your husband, they're not in charge. They're not in charge. They're not the one in control. You say, but oh, they want and they're doing that. You don't understand. Read the Bible and find out when God get ready. How did you come? You weren't born this way. You were not. But God work a miracle and here you are. God touch you. And God keep touching and here you are today. So Paul back in closing Thessalonians said, He said, I'm bound to give thanks to God always for you brethren. Beloved of the Lord. Because God at from the beginning, notice here, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by the gospel, by our gospel, read on to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, look what God did. God chose you and God brought it to you. Now, how do you know that God not working in their lives? How do you know? Nobody knows. You don't know what God's doing. Because. You might have come in 20 years seemingly before them. But God. Oh, you love God and you put your trust in this God, this great God. And when everything is forgotten and everything looks like not working, he begins to work. God can cause water to flow out of the stones, out of the rock. He sent manna in the wilderness. But God opened the Red Sea. When God get ready to move, and he will move in your family, that boy or that girl will come to Jesus Christ. And don't worry about, let me tell you, don't worry about, don't just park with your family. Don't park. Some of us, we just park right there, and you won't move from your relatives. You just park. Don't build a parking lot. Come on, drive out and go out to the ends of the earth and begin to pray for that grandmother's grandson over there. My Lord, come on. Go into all the world. Let your prayers go in all the world. Begin to pray for somebody else's sons and daughters. Look to the end of the earth and begin to, the field is white, begin to pray for the harvest. Pray for the church, for the body of Jesus Christ. Come on, enlarge your vision. That's what Jabez said. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders. God wants us to get out of that little, break out of the box, that little zone comfort, and break out and begin to reach out. Hallelujah. And take the limitation or the limits off of God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. Eh? What I'm doing? In the meanwhile, I reach out to Africa and pray for Africa.
Yes.
Jesus. Amen. Somebody ought to shout. Amen. The meanwhile, you reach out to the Philippines, to people you've never seen before.
Praise God.
And you leave it to God. And you trust in God with all your heart. And you know that you know that you know that God's going to touch them. Somebody give God the glory. And that person, you see, that person that looks so hard and stubborn, and you say, no way, no way can they be saved. If God could save Paul or Saul of Tarsus, he can do anything. Somebody help me right there. He can do anything. There's not a person that God cannot touch or save. But you got to have that faith. See, my sister, I had a sister, one sister. And in my young days, too, I didn't think my sister could be saved. My sister would laugh. Things of God, she'd laugh. She liked parties. You don't want to. And I lived to see without my help, without me. I didn't even know when. My sister got saved. And she became, some of you know her, became the most praying prayer woman that I've ever seen.
Amen.
I remember one time I was over there visiting her. And we prayed. As soon as I get there, a few minutes, and they said, let's pray. And my sister was praying. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I dozed off and fell asleep. And she woke up, she was still praying. No, but that's a prayer warrior.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she went home to the Lord praying. You understand that? And I didn't do nothing about it. I mean, she prayed. And she prayed for me. Who did that?
The Lord.
Without my help. So God will do that for you. But you got to have faith. You say, oh, pastor say God will save my children, but they're still not saved. That's your problem. Oh, ye of little faith. You're limiting God to you, to little time, and look around and say, well, now it's 2 weeks ago, no, and God hadn't saved them yet. Now, where is God? Where does he live? Eternity. He doesn't work like you. He said, "Put today's Sunday, but today's not Sunday for God. Are you listening now? Don't give God a program or a schedule and say, well, now you have to work according to my program. On my timing, because I want to see. And the Lord said, unless you see, you won't believe. But you got to get away from your seeing and your hearing and trust in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know in whom I believe, and that whatever I commit to him, he's able. Somebody say he's able. Did you say he's able? Is he able? So everybody say he's what?
He's
able to do what? To keep whatever.
Yes.
You turn your family, even your job. You're scared. You're scared of the boss. I'm not saying you, but somebody who's listening to me. Scared of your Because this thing go around the world right now. You're scared of your boss. You're scared of going in. You don't understand that God can make you the boss in that job. Was Joseph the boss in the prison? And then he went to boss over Egypt? Who did that for him? Oh, somebody shout. You ought to give God. We are not giving God the praises. You know this church? Oh, we started. We started about 20 years ago when I got fired and kicked out. Yeah, I got fired and kicked out, and I was on my way out. And one lady, I still have one. Stand up, Angie. Come up here. I come up here quickly. I got one lady, I think. Amen. Look at her. She was with me from the beginning, right? Yeah. And you know all things. She knows when I got kicked out, right? Everything that was done to me.
Yeah.
But what happened today? Here we are.
Yeah.
You used to bring me lotion and all that. Yeah. You still do. And tell me to eat my vegetables and all of that stuff.
That's it.
But look at this woman. Look at this precious. Iron my shirt. Do things for me.
Yeah.
I love you, dear.
Love you too, Pastor.
Love you.
Yeah, love you too.
So... Do you understand? And one lady, and I said, you are my Lydia.
Amen.
And I stayed there. And when we have the first service, I got fired this Sunday. And by the next Sunday, we start this church. That's a miracle.
Amen.
I was going to leave town. And say, so I said, no, don't leave town, Pastor. The message came to me. And we started into a lady's home. And look. Then they call after a few weeks, they call the police on us. We had to, and God opened up a little place for us over on T Street, I think, or somewhere.